I was sure whatever gown I had made in New York would be outdated by the time I arrived. Camellia self-consciously brushed at her matching set in prune satin. Bronze roses decorated the jacket, and her skirt was layered in zigzagged flounces of knife-edged pleats. She'd even had her maid add a waterfall of hair to her own curls to mirror the intricacy of her small bustle and train. Her hat was pinned at the latest cockeyed angle. Camellia was as well turned out as any woman at the Exposition Universelle, but next to Suzette's plain, masculine attire, she felt like a royal wedding cake.
"Where is your husband, chérie?"
Suzette glanced around.
"Have you run away from marriage, as I have?"
"Oh, I wasn't sure if you were teasing me in your letter.
Is it true?"
she asked with concern.
"Oui."
Suzette spoke with a distinct lack of regret. "He was angry that I wore my cap."
"No, the other kind," she said, as Camellia flicked her attention to the top of Suzette's head.
"You know of these?" she blinked inquiringly. "The rubber preventative?"
"You mean..."
Was Suzette really speaking of contraceptives, here on the promenade of the exposition? Camellia glanced uneasily at the visitors streaming toward them from the gate, but as outrageous as Suzette's behaviour was, this was precisely why Camellia had always admired her. Suzette said exactly what she thought. Even so, she urged her toward a quiet path so they were less likely to be overheard.
"To think, I was worried we wouldn't have our old rapport," she said wryly.
"Pas," Suzette dismissed with a wave. "Women should be allowed to speak of useful things. We shouldn't be censured for choosing when or if to have children either." Camellia smiled half-heartedly. She hadn't chosen, so much as accepted, that birthing children was her purpose in marrying Powell. She didn't regret her babies, but if she had known how profoundly she would be changed by motherhood, she might have waited to become one.
"It must have been difficult to leave them at home," Suzette noted politely. "They're with my mother and several nannies who dote on them. I'm sure they don't miss me."
Camellia missed them, though, greatly. But her goal on this trip was to rediscover the woman she had been before she'd lost herself in the role of wife and mother.
"I've missed you, ma chérie. Tell me more about the life you lead now."
She looped her arm through Suzette's as they continued to walk.
"You won't divorce, will you?"
She didn't dare tell Suzette there was a voracious appetite at home for booklets describing those court proceedings in lurid detail.
"When France reinstitutes divorce?
Oui.
I'm working with the Women's Rights Society to advocate for it. That is another reason I left him. He didn't like that I contribute articles to their journal. Now I edit and print them."
She smirked. "I take the utmost satisfaction in arming women with their own power.
What of your marriage? Are you happy?"
"I am. Mostly." A heaviness came into the arm Camellia had linked through Suzette's. It felt terrifying to let her mask slip, but with Suzette, she couldn't help it.
"My life is so busy, I don't have time to question how I feel."
"Oh, where are we going?" Camellia paused to get her bearings. Suzette shaded her eyes to take in the grounds.
"Powell is in the machinery hall," Camellia said of her husband,
"but I wondered if you would accompany me to the head of the Statue of Liberty." She pointed along the graveled avenue to where the points of the crown were visible above the screen of a leafy tree. "I climbed to the platform on the torch at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia 2 years ago."
"Yes, let's see whether a woman's head is truly as empty as we're led to believe."
"On the contrary, I'm told we can see how man has constructed her." "Try telling me that isn't symbolic."